If you've got your notepads and you want to put a title for this morning, it's called I Will Go With You. I Will Go With You. So write that down, because I just believe that that's a pretty important word at the moment, and there's just something on that, and I'll just unpack it as we go. And Barack, not Obama, but Barack, who is listed in the Bible, but he's actually famous among Christians because he's listed in one of our sort of signature sort of passages of Scripture that we like to read, and it's the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith, if you like, and it says this at verse 32, it says, "And what shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what is promised." So here's this guy called Barak who's listed there with a whole lot of other esteemed people. So what's his story? How did he get on that list? Have you ever turned up somewhere and you weren't on the list? You know, like you know, going to a cool party and they had a list at the door, and you get to the door and your name's not on it? Well, you know, his name was on the list. His name's on a list that stands. How did he get on the list? And sometimes you might ask, how do I get on the list? What was his story? Well, if you've got your Bibles there, Judges chapter 4, and we'll have a look. It says this, starting at verse 12, it says, "When Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinadab, had gone to Mount Tabor, he called 900 of his iron chariots and all of his warriors, and they marched from Haragath Haggoi," it's a cool name, isn't it? Haggoi-im, to the Kishon River. Now, according to Josephus, ancient historian, he actually reckons that the army that Barak was going against, Sisera's army, probably had about 300,000 soldiers, 10,000 cavalry, and on top of that, 900 chariots. So that's pretty significant. It's not just a little tribal dispute. This is a very, very powerful army in its day. Now, 900 chariots, I just put some context around that for you, and you might think, oh yeah, bring it into our times, maybe a chariot is worth a tank. Well, actually, I think a chariot was worth more than a tank. A chariot was probably worth something along the lines of a fighter jet. That was the sort of advantage that something like that gave you in that time. So this guy had 900 chariots, as well as 10,000 horses and people on their backs, and 300,000 soldiers. And Barak goes against them, and he had 10,000 pretty undisciplined men. And he calls them together, and he goes, and he has this incredible victory over them. And we can read about that and how it happened. It's what I want to talk about this morning. It says this in Judges chapter 4, 14 to 16. It says, "Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Get ready. This is the day that the Lord will give you victory over Sisera.'" So this is the day that the Lord will give you victory over 300,000 men, 10,000 cavalry, and 900 chariots. This is the day it's going to happen. So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor to battle. When Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and warriors into panic. Sisera leaped from his chariot and escaped on foot. Then Barak chased the chariots and the enemy all the way to Haragath Higgim, killing all of Sisera's warriors. Not a single one was left alive. So with his 10,000 ragtag army and a bit of help from God, he had a really emphatic victory. What's encouraging to some of us people that when we look and examine our lives and we think that we're somewhere less than one of these heroes listed in the Hall of Faith? when we're struggling with our faith levels from time to time, when we actually look at this guy who's held up there as one of the all-time Bible heroes, was that he actually had doubts. He has this emphatic, courageous victory, but he had doubts, almost running parallel with his great faith, were nagging doubts. And I want to say this morning, just because you're experiencing a level of doubt, it doesn't mean that your faith is nullified or void. Just because you're experiencing a doubt, that does not nullify or void your faith. I think sometimes as Christians, we've got to become comfortable with the paradox. That on one level, we're going to experience a doubt. On the other level, we're going to feel great faith. And sometimes they run parallel with each other. And sometimes what happens is that we experience a doubt. So we say, oh, my faith's not working. And we pack everything up and say, all right, I'm not up for it today, Lord, because my faith's not up there. I'm doubting. But you know what? There is always a paradox where there is a level of doubt that so often goes with a level of faith. The most famous doubter in the Bible, which I think is pretty unfair, was the Apostle Thomas. And he's been dubbed through history as Doubting Thomas. The guy had one moment where he had to work it out, but he worked it out, didn't he? You know the story. Jesus said, hey, come on, Thomas, come here. Let me show you. He didn't ridicule him for his doubt. He didn't put him down for his doubt. He actually esteemed him, lifted him up. And you don't read it in the Bible, but history would say that Thomas probably took the gospel as far as India in those ancient times. You know, what a hero. But there's a paradox going on. He had significant doubt, but he also had amazing faith. I think great faith is developed in being comfortable with the paradox. Let's go back to Judges. Judges chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. Deborah, the wife of Labatoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at the time. She would sit under a palm, the palm of Deborah, I guess it was named after her, between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And all the Israelites would go to her for judgment. One day she sent Barak, son of Abinadab, who lived near Kadesh, to the land of Naphtali. She said to him, this is what the Lord God of Israel commands you. Call out your 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulon at Mount Tabor, and I will call Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots, warriors, to the Kishon Valley. There I will give you victory over him. Barak told her, I will go, but only if you go with me. Very well, she replied, I will go with you. But you will receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, it's a woman which is quite significant in the culture. It's actually really significant in the culture. Who said, I will go with you. It was unconventional. It was very unconventional for a military man to actually say, you know what, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. I'm not going to ride into battle unless a woman comes by my side. Now, in today's context, we sort of think that's okay, even though we probably still battle with it a bit, if we're honest. See, our culture hasn't come as far as we think. But he actually had to show an incredible amount of humility to say, I will go, but I want this chick, Deborah. I want her to come with me. I want her to be there. Why would he do that? It showed, I think, when an institution loses its way, God is not finished. You see, the institution of Israel at the time, even though it was pretty ragtag, it wasn't that well formed, But these judges would come and be judges of Israel. So in that culture, it actually says that the blokes at the time weren't stepping up, that they were corrupt, they were into all sorts of things. They weren't doing their job. So you know, God raises up this woman as the prophet to judge Israel. It says to me that God is not interested in always being about convention. He's actually interested in doing his will and doing what he needs to do to reach people. Showed when men fail, God doesn't. And then Deborah. She's not a military person. She's a prophet. She's one of those airy fairy people. She sits on a hill prophesying. She's probably a bit weird. And she said, I'll go too. You put this. She's actually going from her position as a prophet, where she can say what she likes and not have to carry the responsibility of it in some ways. But she actually goes from there to saying, I'm actually going to go into battle with you. I read this when I was doing a bit of research. It says, there is a mightier power than many know in the fellowship of kindred spirits. That was written by Mary Baxter. The power of a kindred spirit, the power of Barak and Deborah actually coming together on this actually took a doubter not only to an unlikely and mighty victory, but under the pages of history as one of the all-time giants of faith. That was the power of a kindred spirit. That was the power of somebody saying, I will go with you. Great faith is enacted, I reckon, when we say, I'll go too. When somebody actually is there and they say, you know what, God has spoken, I believe in this, and we can actually sit back with our arms folded and say, oh, we'll see. Don't come to me when it doesn't work. Don't come to me. We'll watch you crash and burn. Or, okay, run along, it's okay. Yeah, we're with you, but there's sort of this cynical feeling behind and you're sort of waiting for it to all fall to pieces. Or if we've got the conviction of God on it, we can actually say, you go and not I'll follow, but I'll go too. How often do you know people say, you know, you go and we're with you. You go, I'll follow. When we're teenage boys, young men mucking around. Oh, you go, we'll be with you. And then, you know, someone's left out there all on their own. I remember years ago we were walking down a beach as young guys, and it was the middle of a Tasmanian winter, so it was cold, and there was a creek on the beach, and I don't know, somehow there was talk about who would get in the creek. And they said, oh, well, we'll give you, you know, people started offering money for someone to get in the creek, and I thought, that's cool. I'll take your money. But I'd seen these guys before. You know, I knew what would happen. I thought, if I get in the creek and then I'll get out for my money, it'll be like, yeah, we're with you, but we're not giving you the money. So I remember I went round and I got the money first and then got in the creek. But so often as Christians, we're like that. We're like, you go and we'll stand on the bank and ha, 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 ha. He's in the creek. How stupid. Great faith is enacted when someone says, I'll go too. A prophetic voice, a kindred spirit, and a brave lady being prepared to go too launched a man into the hall of faith and her country from oppression. I think we would be blown away if we only knew what was on the other side of a kindred spirit and five powerful words, I will go with you. When we say, I'll go with you, we help people walk past the realm of doubt and into the faith realm. Who is it in your world at the moment, perhaps, that needs to hear those words? Who is it around you that actually needs to say, you know what, yeah, you've got a calling on your life, or this is going on, or I'll go with you. You know, somebody's about to buy their first house and they're not sure, but somebody says, you know what, you can do it. And you know what, we're with you. Not like we're going to say, okay, yeah, it's a good idea, but we're actually going to support you. We're going to help you get over that mountain. We're going to help you to that place. I will go with you. Dan has just bought another house recently down here in Rose Bay. And now he's a tycoon. He's got two houses. Dan, the story is Dan bought a house in New Norfolk a number of years ago when we started to do some work up there and plant our service so he could actually be there in the community. And obviously, you know, house prices in New Norfolk are quite different to house prices in Rose Bay. But he decided he wanted to be a bit closer, so he started to look at what could happen. But, you know, the cool thing is he's been able to do that on a pastor's wage. But it was somebody in his family who said, I will go with you. Yeah. It was actually somebody in his family that said, Dan, we're gonna back you in that. That's a good idea. We're not just going to stand and watch. But someone says, I'll go too. Yeah. I'll go with you. We'll actually, you know, we'll put some of our capital and our names on the table to help you achieve something. And I'm not suggesting you go around willy-nilly backing everybody in loans and things like that. But what I am saying is there is a spirit that goes beyond just saying, you go and we'll follow and we'll watch, as to, I'll go too.
Yeah, wow.
When we say, I'll go with you, I reckon our world becomes larger as we step beyond our own realm and our perceived limitations. When we say, I'll go with you, we attract the blessing of God, we release the supernatural, and we help somebody else break through. You can step into something that is bigger than you just by those words, saying, I'll go too. We develop a kindred spirit. We enact the power of I'll go too, or I'll go with you when, number one, if you're taking notes, when we speak with a prophetic voice. I think there's an incredible power in actually speaking with a prophetic voice. See, Barak wasn't a prophet, but he actually wanted the prophetic mantle as part of his campaign. You know, he was saying, you know, I could do this. I know, or he probably said, I can't do this. But he said, you know, I know the military stuff, but actually I want to go beyond the military stuff. And I want the supernatural. I want the power of God. I want the prophetic mantle to be part of my campaign. And he said to Deborah, would you come too? He didn't want her because she was a great military tactician. He didn't want her because she could swing a sword. He actually wanted her because she was going to bring the prophetic mantle to what he did. Let's make the prophetic part of what we do. It says this, Hebrews 11 verse 1, at the start of that, says, now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. You know, there's a prophetic edge to faith living. When we speak confidently about what we hope for, the New American Standard Bible says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It means speaking with conviction about things that you haven't really seen yet. You see, you can talk very generally about stuff that, you know, that God's going to do, because you know it's written in the Bible, and you sort of it's easy to say that. But when you want to bring that into the context of your life, your world, your situation, our church, our city, your family, our hope, our future, when you want to take it from there and bring it into that context, well, you've got to be able to speak with conviction about that. It's not just like, oh yeah, it'll happen. But you know what, I think it takes a prophetic edge. And not everybody has the mantle of a prophet, but I think anybody in the kingdom of God needs to be able to have a prophetic edge to the way that they live and the way that they speak, and that needs to happen. When we get up in the morning, why not prophesy over your day? Why not actually start to speak the blessing and the authority of God that has been given to you, and it is within your grasp and reach to be able to speak that out? Why not speak that over your day before it happens? The other week, I was out early on my bike, as I am, and my day didn't start so well. I'm sort of riding down through Glenorchy, and I, my eyes were sort of on a car on the side street, watching whether it was going to pull out. And the next thing, I bang under my wheels, and I thought to myself, "Gee, I'll be lucky if I don't get a blowout from that one." And sure enough, my front tyre goes. Psh! I pull over in front of the Glenorchy police station. I thought that was a safe place to be there. It's not though, because there's nobody there. They were all loud, yes. And my front tyre, I think that's okay. I've got a tube. And then my back tyre goes, psh. So I've got two flat tyres. Not a good start to the day. And things like that happen to us all the time. But you know what? How do we respond to that? You know, we can curse and say, "This is just my luck. This stuff always happens to me. It's going to be a terrible day." Or we can actually prophesy about our day. We can actually declare the favour of God over what is to come and what is in front of us. I can't remember what I did. I didn't get too upset. I did. I got a taxi home, actually. This is what the Lord of God, Israel, commands you to do. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Caesarea, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him. Note the tone of her prophecy. Note the tone of it. You know, she said, "Well, this is what God is saying." But then it's got a tone of partnership. You call out your warriors, and I'll call out the enemy. Thanks very much. But there was what he had to do. You see, Barak had to get the army together. And I think so often we get ourselves, as Christians and people around church, we can actually get ourselves all excited. And, oh yeah, we're trained up, we're ready. And then we're sort of running around looking for the opportunity and looking where we need to engage and where we're to go. So what do? We come back and we have another church service. But she says, "No, you get your army together. You get everybody assembled. You call them and I'll call out the enemy. This is going to happen. This is not a practice run. This is not a drill. This is the real thing. You get your army," and there's a partnership there. "You call the army, I'll call the enemy."
So good.
And it will be God that brings the victory.
Wow. Come on.
Maybe there's some people here this morning where you've got to actually get together and say, "You know what? I'm going to step out with what I have. You step out with what you have, and you watch God bring the blessing and the anointing over partnership and the kindred spirit in which you go forward." So how can we change that in our world? How can we speak with that sort of prophetic tone? I think very, very simply, we can actually bring that kindred spirit just by the language we use. Change I to we. Change me to us. Change you to we. Change me to we. I knew you'd remember that one, you see.
Great word.
We develop a kindred spirit. We enact the power of I will go, number two, when we speak with humility. See, not only speak with humility, but develop a humble spirit. Barak told her, "I will go, but only if you go with me." And then she says, "Very well, I will go with you, but you'll receive..." Listen to this. "You will receive no honour." Now, in those days, if you were... And in today, too. If you're a military person, it's all about recognition and honour when you go to a campaign. You don't want to actually do the job and then everybody actually gives somebody else the glory for it. Because this is your moment. They don't come along very often. Military people spend all their life getting ready for one moment. And he's got his moment, but he's abdicating the glory. And somebody, you know, I'm sure there have been a lot of sermons preached about how if he had have had the faith and he had to believe God and he had have gone into it, well, he could have had the glory. That's true. But he understood where he was at. He understood who he was. He understood that there was this paradox with doubt. And he was actually able to be humble enough to say, I'm actually not giving up because I don't feel it. I'm actually going to go forward. And I need the partnership. And I need the blessing of God. And I need the prophetic mantle on what I'm doing. And I am going to go forward. I am not going to stop here. And I'm speaking to somebody this morning. And you've got to actually say, you know, God's been speaking to you. And you don't want to go forward. You don't think you can do it. And you know, you just need a kindred spirit. You just need to show some humility and say, hey, somebody come with me. Somebody actually get on board with where I'm going, and you'll be amazed at what actually happens. See, Deborah was a prophet, as we've said. Barak was a warrior, a military man, and he was humble enough to invite the prophetic into his tactical and courageous exploits. Sometimes we want to compartmentalize our lives too much, don't we? You know, we've got the financial realm. You know, we've got a board meeting. Got a meeting of the finance committee. And you know what? We want to bring, you know, we want to function in our economic rationalism in that moment. And then we want to come into our church service and we want the prophetic. It's not either or. It doesn't mean we bring the prophetic into our board meeting and just do stupid things. It actually means, you know what, we bring the skills, we bring the talents, we bring what God has given us, we bring common sense, you know, and then we add the God factor to that. Yeah. We bring the prophetic mantle to where we're going forward. And, you know, in your workplace, you can actually compartmentalize that. You can say, oh, I don't like this job very much. I'm just here. I'm doing it. Yeah. Just getting by. And it's a bit like, yeah, I'll go to work, I come home, and then I can be somebody else when I get home. But you know what? God wants you to bring that prophetic edge, that prophetic mantle into your workplace. Whatever's going on at the moment, don't compartmentalize our lives. Let's be humble enough to realize that that can come in. I remember when I first moved to Hobart, and I got this job, and it was exactly the job I'd prayed for. And I left family business and working for my dad when Alex and I got married and moved to Hobart. And I remember talking to God about the sort of job I'd like. And I ended up getting exactly the job that I told him about, which was quite amazing. And then things went on. And I was in a place where I was fairly well recognized for what I could do in my auto electrical trade. And I didn't actually have to rely on God for those things. I just did it. You know, I understood it and I could do it. But part of my job meant sort of being stretched into other areas that I wasn't quite as competent. You know, we were pulling apart great big engines and machines and all that, and I thought it was great, but I was a bit outside of my training and my skill set. And then I had things go wrong. I had things not quite work as well. And I'm feeling like, I'm feeling quite humiliated in some of this. But alongside that was this spiritual journey that God had me on. I remember somebody preached, Michael Weeks' brother preached a message in our church at the time. And I don't know where he got this from, but I was a young, impressionable boy who was silly enough to do what he said. And he said, sometimes we you know, life's too easy. We need to pray to God for trials so that we can be developed. That's the dumbest prayer I've ever prayed in my life. Because God delivered quickly, immediately. But there was a sense where God took me on a journey. And if you had have asked me at the time, are you humble, Dave? I would have said yes, like Moses, the humblest person in the world. But God was actually showing me something. He was actually taking me on a journey of humility. Some of you might think he could do a bit more, but you know, that was the journey he took me on. And I think Let's be prepared to be humble enough. Allow God to take you on the journey so that you can actually be prepared to invite into your world what you need to. Point was, in that area, I didn't think I needed God because I was, not that I tried to push him out, I just was quite confident in myself. And sometimes he needs to show us that it's not about that. I think number three, we develop a kindred spirit when we enact the power of I will go. That's how we do that. When we're not limited by our position, calling, or skill set. We enact the power of I will go with you when we're not limited by our position, calling, or skill set. See, Deborah was prepared to go too. She followed her prophetic voice with belief, support, and action. In other words, she was just more than talk, wasn't she? Deborah showed that she was prepared to get down from her prophetic position, where she sat up on the hill in this tent and everybody came to her and she prophesied over them. That's what she did. And she judged, she sorted out disputes. Feels like my role with 3- and 4-year-olds. And she was prepared to get down into the trenches from her relatively safe position as a prophet. Deborah stepped down from her safe position on the hill. And maybe some of us here this morning need to step down from our safe position on the hill. Step down from our theological position. I don't mean put that aside, but I mean take that and enact it. Step down from your comfortable seat in this church and enact what we're learning. Step down from our relatively comfortable middle class and go to where God's calling us. Do you know, earlier this year God showed us something. We did pop-up festival at Bridgewater. You know the story, a lot of you, but it's a place that doesn't particularly have churches like ours. Doesn't have many churches at all, actually. And we just felt a calling and we said, okay, we're going to do something different. We did a festival, had a taste of church service all in it. But, you know, in that day we had about 1,500 people or something like that come through as part of the day. Out of that, do you know we got 200 or 300 people that actually gave their names and details and said, I want to be contacted by a church. Some people got down from their comfortable place. See, for some of us, the most uncomfortable thing is making a cold phone call, isn't it? We had a couple of people that, between them, rang 200 or 300 people. And the amazing testimony is, I don't think there was one negative response. People were like, I'm pleased you called. Wow. What an opportunity. There's a stirring, but what's it need? It actually doesn't even need money. It needs people to say, I'll go too.
Yeah, wow. Come on.
I'll go too.
That's it.
You know, there'll be people that get out there, but there needs to be others that come alongside and say, I'll go too. See, I'm all for us doing what we do best and allowing others to do what they do best. But sometimes I think I'll go too is just doing whatever it takes. Barak's doubt meant that without Deborah's encouragement and agreement, he would have never have stepped into greatness. When somebody here says this week those words, I'll go too, I think you're going to help somebody step into greatness. Tonight we've got youth takeover service. I don't like the name, actually, Dan, because I think we've got high ownership every week. That's, you can take over any time. But you know what? You can say, oh, they've got a youth takeover service on tonight. There's going to be a whole lot of young people doing their thing, and I'll be uncomfortable. Or you can say, I'll go too. I'll go too. Come on. It's not my thing, but I'll go too. The way they do it won't be as polished. It won't be this or it won't be that. It might be. But, you know what? We say, I'll go too. Some of you have got an amazing wealth of life's experience as you sit here this morning. How many people are waiting for you to say, I'll go too, on their next venture, on their next thing? As we, later in the year, roll out a coaching, I don't know what to call it, I don't want to call it a format or a system, but it's just going to be a foundation that allows us to connect people, and it's more a culture. Yeah, how many people are waiting for somebody to say, I'll go too? Not I'm going to tell you what to do, or I'm going to sit up like a guru and just give you my wisdom. World's full of people willing to do that, isn't it? Jump onto YouTube, they're everywhere. But I tell you what the world's not full of is people that say, I'll go too. People that say, I'm actually going to walk this with you. We're going to actually get a kindred spirit on this. We're going to go into this place together. Let's not criticize somebody else's level of faith, but rather say, I'll go too. Use your faith to allow other people to step into theirs. Use the faith that you have to allow somebody else to step into the faith that they have. It says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, For I say, through the grace given me to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think soberly as God, listen to this, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. One of the things that God really spoke to me about is not long after Alex and I sort of stepped into the senior role here at the church, we went through something that a lot of senior pastors go through. Not everybody comes to. And I remember talking to God. At that time, I used to go up onto the domain and tell God what he wasn't doing. And he just said a few significant things to me about that. And I was getting frustrated about this person and that person. And, you know, because I knew a bit, I wasn't that smart, but I knew a little bit about momentum. And I knew what we were poised to be able to do. And I just knew that if we all just held our nerve and walked forward, that we could have done some incredible things. That be as it might. And I'm telling God all about this and I'm getting upset about this stuff. Upset about this one and that one, and And God said to me, he said, Dave, if it wasn't in them, it wasn't in them. You can't make them. And don't judge them. Don't judge them because of what they didn't have. Because I have given each one a measure of faith. Yeah. And let's not judge somebody's measure of faith, but let's bring our faith alongside their measure and see how God develops the measure that they've been given. Let's work with what we have and what others have. Let's not criticize what someone doesn't have. Deborah, the prophet, stepped out of her primary calling skill set and launched a man into the hall of faith and released her country from oppression. I think we would be blown away if we only knew what was on the other side of a kindred spirit and those five words, I'll go too. And I think this word is the word for this service here this morning. God spoke to us pretty strongly about those words at our encounter night a few weeks back. But as I look around here this morning, I see so many people that are so positioned and so resourced and so ready and so willing to say, I'll go too. And sometimes we don't do it because, not because we don't want to do it, not because we don't have a heart for it, not because, but I think sometimes we just don't think we've been given permission. Sometimes we haven't just quite connected what God's doing in us to the opportunity that is ahead. Well, hey, I'm giving you permission. I think it's time we took our resource, our experience, and we partner alongside some people that need us to go with them. Whether that's young people, whether that's another community, whatever it is, let's be ready to say, I'll go too. Because what's going to be on the other side of a kindred spirit, in other words, the unity and believing, the power of agreement, and being willing to say, I'm coming too. Why don't we stand? The worship team can come and join us now. Quite often I get a bit more intense than I want to. And perhaps this morning is one of those mornings. But I believe this morning there is an intensity of what God wants to do. I want to speak to a couple of groups here. Now you're waiting right now. There's something brewing in you. And you're waiting for almost somebody to come and speak and agree and say, I'll come with you. Something brewing, but you feel a bit alone. You feel like there's not that kindred spirit there. There's not somebody alongside. Why don't you do the three things that we talked about this morning? Start to speak prophetically over that thing. Yeah. Don't just leave it there, but start to speak prophetically about the future of that. And then be humble enough to accept what God brings. Because sometimes He doesn't bring the coolest person alongside. Sometimes He doesn't bring the person that you expected. Sometimes He brings somebody who's just not quite what you were thinking. And it just takes some humility. And then you might just have to step out of the safety of your primary calling.
Yeah, well.
I'm not saying do something you're not to do, but just don't be boxed in. Let me pray for you. And then there are others here. I'm going to pray for that group right now. If that's you, you don't have to put a hand up or do anything. I just want to allow you to personalize this. It's a bit like the walk that you're on at the moment. You feel like you need a kindred spirit. You need somebody to be alongside. And you know what? The humility is you actually surrendering that to God, because it is not your vision. It is not your calling. It's what God has placed on you. It's what He's placed in you. He owns it. You don't own it. You just are a custodian of it. And so often the reason that we don't see these things happen is we hold them to ourselves. And it's like we're not willing to actually put them back into God's hands and say, you know, you shape it, you do with it, you lead us the way that you're wanting to lead us. So let's surrender those things to Him right now in Jesus' name. Let's start to prophesy over those things. Lord Jesus, I thank You that there are things brewing in people here all over the place. There are things that have been carried, and in some cases for years and years and years. And right now we bring them before You and we surrender them to You. We bring them under the power of Your authority and Your agreement. We're willing to submit them under what You've asked us to. And Lord, I pray right now that there would be kindred spirits that would develop right across this place and beyond this place right now in Jesus' name. And we humble ourselves and we're ready for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then there are others here, and just God's speaking to you about coming alongside. And you know what? I'm going to pray right now for that connection between what you carry and the opportunities that God is placing in front of you. Hey Doris, I just think there is an incredible calling and mantle on your life in that coming alongside and saying, I'll go too. And you're a humble person. You know, God's wired you that way. But just be ready. Just be ready in a whole lot of different areas. When you partner and you bring what you have and you bring it alongside, and there's going to be incredible blessing on the other side of that partnership. And I don't see that in just, you know, one or obvious areas. I see that in a whole lot of different areas across your life. You know, even in your workplace where you're not sure what the future is, you're not sure how it's going on. I just think that God is actually going to show you partnerships. He's going to show you dynamics and things that actually happen, and you're going to explode into all sorts of opportunity. But there are other people, because of your willingness to come alongside, that are going to step up from where they are, and they're going to step into new things. They're going to step into new opportunities, and they're going to step into new callings. And I don't believe this is just in the church realm, but there's something on you to bring that into the secular place, into the areas that where you work. And don't underestimate it. It's powerful. Simon, there's a word for you in that too. As you come alongside, as you say, well, I'll go too. And I think there's probably a situation or something that's around, and it's going to be like, you know you need to do it, and you'll get there, and initially it'll be like, I can't get those words out. But as you start to speak that out, as you start to bring that in, you're gonna be released. I just get a feeling where this feeling like you've been tied down and not being able to. It's like you're plodding rather than running. And I think as you do that, there's almost like there'll be shackles and weights come off your feet, and you'll start to look like that runner that has that beautiful flow, and it's just running beautifully. There's going to be a sense of that as you actually say, you know what? I'll go too. I'll come alongside. Pete Rowe, sometimes I think, and I speak the first bit of this from what I know in you, but you know, you've got such a heart for the kingdom, you've got such a heart for what God is doing, you've got a heart to see him, you know, move in the supernatural and powerful ways. And I think sometimes the paradox in your life is that there is a frustration between what you feel and what you've experienced in some places and what you feel is being enacted and worked out. And I just believe that you're coming into a season where when you start to come alongside, there's some things that are going to come together, and there's going to be an ease and there's going to be a flow to where you go into the next season of your life. Don't let them go. Don't lay them down, but just say, you know what? I'm going to come alongside, and God is going to bring some things together, and you're going to be absolutely surprised at what he does. I know in you wouldn't be surprised by God, because that's the sort of faith you have, but you're going to be surprised at how you feel. You're going to be surprised at what he actually does inside you. And I just say, you know, get ready and be prepared. Let me pray. I was going to pray before. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you didn't call any of us to be alone. You didn't call any of us to be solo people. I think you showed us when you sent your disciples out, you sent people out together. You matched gift sets. You matched passion and experience with common sense. You brought people together that made things work. Lord, I thank you right now that you are developing, you know, kindred spirits, that you are drawing people together, that people are coming alongside. And I pray right now that you would connect the experience, you would connect what people are carrying with the opportunity that is in front, that you would help us, you know, form partnerships that are not just fun, but actually take us forward and see things released in your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name.